В эфире «Арсенал» подкаст Ивана Меркурьева.
Здравствуйте, уважаемые слушатели. Сегодня у нас программа с английским гостем, с Гуннером, которого зовут Джеймс. И программу мы будем вести по-английски. Хотя Джеймс, наверное, мог бы и говорить с нами как-то и по-русски, но по-английски, я понимаю, программу записывать легче. Поэтому мы сейчас перейдем на английский, а вы будете уже слушать потом в переводе. Джеймс, hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you again.
Nice to meet you again too.
So, can you tell me a few words about your ordinary life? So you are working, as far as I understand, you are working in Moscow and you have a contract in Moscow.
Well, yes, I'm working in Moscow as a teacher and teaching English and have been doing this for many years now and have my Russian residency permit and hopefully soon I will have my Russian citizenship too.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us the story, the main story is that I do think that your wife, who is Russian, were going to live in United Kingdom, but now the situation is different from that, yes? And you are going to get Russian citizenship?
Yes, that would be more comfortable for us, for me especially. But yeah, originally that was the plan. The plan was mm-hmm. that my wife would come to England and we would live there. But mm-hmm. Things changed. I decided to make the step and live somewhere else. I'd been born near London, near the north of London, where Highbury and the Emirates mm. is, of all my course. Life, and worked around that area, university around that area, and decided that I wanted something new. So I decided to come here, and since I've come, I've had a great time living and working in Moscow, and at the moment have no plans to return.
Mm-hmm. James, another question in this particular story. Do you really feel that in Russia you can live better than in United Kingdom?
Better or worse, I can't answer that right now. Mm-hmm. My life changes when at the moment I have a wife and a child here in Russia, which is very different to my life 10 years ago when I was, or 15 years ago when mm-hmm. I was at university. I was a different person then, and the things that for me were important then are different to what they are now. I would say life in Moscow can be similar to life in London. Maybe if we go outside of Moscow 200-300 kilometers, life can be again very different mm-hmm. outside of Moscow mm-hmm. in some of the more rural areas. But I think that life in Moscow has got a lot better. Even in the time that I've been here in the last 10 years, I've seen big changes to Moscow. It's become more modern. So I think that life can be comfortable here, but better or worse, I can't answer
okay.
that.
Okay. So you feel comfortable?
Yes.
And you can ask for Russian citizenship without losing UK citizenship, right?
That's right. Yeah. As far as I'm aware, then I'm allowed to have dual citizenship. Yes.
And you want to pay taxes in Russia, of course.
Yes.
Of course. Listen, I'm sorry for disturbing you on this particular matter, but it's interesting. It's not a usual story that UK citizen asking for Russian citizenship. Tell me, please, if it is possible to explain. We have a different political system, it's okay, but Russia and United Kingdom are not in friendship, generally speaking, on political level. So your guys in United Kingdom, do they ask you, why do you live in hostile country or something like that? Or when it's go down to France, it doesn't matter where do you live?
honestly speaking, maybe I had those conversations when I first came to Russia, like 8 or 9 years ago. Maybe they had some questions for me about mm-hmm. this, but now I have been here so long already that we don't speak about those kind of situations. Of course, when there is some scandals or political news mm-hmm, that's in the press, in the news, I feel like sometimes I am defending Russia quite a lot. And this is maybe just as a reaction because I have family here now and I have something what you'd call a home here now. So I feel like some things that are written maybe outside of Russia are from one side, and I like to try to give a balanced view from the other side. But between friends, I see them very rarely, especially with the COVID situation we have now, that when we go back and we want to spend time together, the last thing that we want to do is speak about politics. We prefer to mm-hmm. speak about Arsenal, speak about good times and at the moment maybe bad times, rather than speaking about the latest political incident.
I agree with you because we all know that policy divides people and sport combines people together. So yes. Let's talk on sport. And first of all, I would like to ask your opinion on Super League.
Oh, good question to start with, I guess. I think that Super League is bad. I think the idea is bad. I think that it's bad, and I just want to quickly say I think mm-hmm. the reason it's bad is something that I will talk about, but I think that the problem of Super League is that it's greedy, and it is not a meritocracy. What I mean by that is that you are not promoted or demoted in the system. You are not given your right to play against the best teams based on your performance, your merit, your individual merit or team merit. You're there because of some arbitrary decision that your team was powerful enough or historical enough, Real Madrid, Barcelona, that you were chosen to be put into the Super League. I can't speak for Tottenham because I have no idea why they were even chosen anyway. Maybe it's because of their new stadium, but I don't consider them historically great or recently great anyway, because they haven't won anything. Nevertheless, it's not a meritocracy, and that's what I think sport should be about. Sport should be an open and fair competition. However, that being said, what we have now is also a little bit different, and I don't consider what we have now as being fair. When we first allowed very rich owners to buy ownership of Premier League clubs, this was also the start of this process. So what we have now is far from ideal. UEFA and FIFA also have some, I don't want to say anything legally like it, they are corrupt, but they have elements of, let's say, dishonesty. And the Premier League is full of clubs like Man City and Chelsea where foreign owners have come in and completely changed the club. And this is something that Arsene Wenger spoke about a long time ago as well, and maybe Arsene Wenger had hoped that financial fair play would help this, but it didn't. And unfortunately, that was a big negative, I think, for Arsenal.
Big negative for Arsenal. Okay. Super League. General idea is that the best clubs can compete with each other, let's say, okay, twice a year. Super League means, generally speaking, not this Super League which was declared by Fiorentina Perez. I mean, the idea is to create the League of Super Clubs and to attract the attention of the people from the whole world. And the general idea, as far as I understand, is to make football very competitive again, not in sport only, but to get the attention from the young generation. Mm-hmm. Because now they live in a different world, which was, let's say, 20 years ago. it's a world with a lot of online entertainments, and they are not necessarily preferring football. And I believe in United Kingdom too. So you need to promote football for young generation to prefer. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you that implementation of this story was absolutely unacceptable, but it was not prepared enough. Wrong people involved, wrong idea that there must be the clubs forever. It's wrong idea. I agree with you that it must be meritocracy, it must be promotion, relegation. Of course, yes. But generally speaking, I think that Super League is a good idea for the clubs. If you have all sporting merits, of course. Of course.
So if we continue that, what do you think then is the difference between what we have as a Champions League and a Super League? What are the differences if...
Very, very easy. The difference is that, I'm sorry, the clubs like Debrecen, Istanbul last season, it's a lot of clubs who can't compete on Champions League level. They just can't compete. They are going to Champions League because they are the champions of their country, but the level of country championship is very weak to compete. This is the problem of Champions League. It may be brotherhood and equality, but I'm sorry, when you have a results like 7-0, it's something, I don't know. You remember Arsenal played Dundalk this year in Europa League?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm sorry, but Dundalk is a Sunday pub league team.
I understand. Yeah, the point you make is a good one. It's to do with viewing figures. I mean, if you just look at the Champions League recently, less and less people are watching it because you get these strange matchups of super teams against lesser teams, and nobody wants to watch these. But at the same time, you have competitions in England like the FA Cup, which put teams like Arsenal against teams like Boreham Wood, a very local team. And at the essence of this is what football is. And the joy that it can bring. I know some people from Ireland who went to that match you mentioned.
I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely. But there is a difference because it's only one match for, let's say, Forest Green against Arsenal. So 90% that this will be the last match. In Champions League, you have to watch this very small clubs. I don't mean small. I mean they are not competitive. You have to watch it all the autumn. Mm-hmm. Six games. What for? We all remember Marseille from France, who lost six games out of six in their group. So why we need these teams? It's not small team, Marseille.
But, do you think that we need to then change the format of the Champions League rather than create a new Super League?
Maybe. But I'm not sure that UEFA and FIFA will be ready to do it. So okay. I don't agree with the idea that there must be closed club forever. No, definitely not. But tell me, for example, do you really believe that Real Madrid or Manchester City or Manchester United really has a chance to be kicked out, to relegate from Super League? I don't think so, that big clubs have this danger to be relegated. That's why they don't need to be constant members and they don't need to create closed club. It's an American idea, I understand. I don't like American sport because I don't understand closed league also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But okay, I'm ready to agree with you that you can change Champions League, of course. Yes.
And you made a good point about getting young people involved, because as I understand it, older supporters and fans like we are.
We're here forever.
Yeah, and they call us legacy fans now, apparently. And we are maybe pushed to the side, and obviously we want to attract new fans and young kids into the game, which of course this is good, but maybe there are also other things that we can look at a little bit closer to home. If we look immediately at the Emirates and ticket prices, and if you go to a game at the Emirates and you look around you, you've probably within 30 meters, you're looking at about like 50 lawyers and about 60 architects and about 70 doctors and bankers. You're not attracting the young people because ticket prices are impossible. A father cannot take his two sons to go watch the Arsenal game. And maybe we should focus more on offering one ticket for an adult and a child goes free, rather than creating a super league. Let's create bonds with your local team, whether that's maybe Arsenal, whether that's Barnet, or whether that's Nottingham Forest. You go to the team nearby because it's your local team. You help them, you support them, you create a relationship with them, and I think that will last a little bit longer than a child from China watching a super league of Manchester United and thinking, wow, this is my team. Like that's good. That if the child grows up and watches the football on TV and it makes him go outside and play football and get healthy, that's great. But I think that there are a lot more other things that we can do to get children involved before we start saying that Super League is the only option.
Okay. We both agree that implementation of the idea was extremely bad. And to be honest, I was surprised that billionaires cannot understand what will happen tomorrow. If today they will declare, it's strange, but it's a fact now. So there is a huge reaction in England, and now there are big talkings on implementation of the 50% plus one voice scheme into the club. So what do you generally speaking think of supporters who owns the club? Is it a good system, in your opinion, or is it a bad? If there will be the special regulation, the supporters must have 50% plus one share.
Okay, so as I understand it, the 50 plus one rule, it means that every club that wants to compete in their league, they have to have, like, must be 50% owned by the fans, with the fans having the casting vote. So the fans have the final decision on all important matters.
Yeah, yeah.
That's correct. In principle, that sounds okay. As I understand, also, there are German clubs which have a system like this in the Bundesliga.
James, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but in Germany, supporters owns the club. So they own. Bayern Munich is 75% owned by supporters, and only 8.3%. Three sponsors have this share, 8.3, and 75 they owned. And I'm not sure that this is the story in England. So I can't. Do you imagine now that the clubs will be taken from the current owners and transferred to the supporters? Do you believe in it?
No, I don't believe that's possible for the government to intervene like that.
So, it's possible. So we're talking about voting rights only.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Now, they're talking about voting rights.
I think that we're far too down the road. We've gone too far into not like a capitalist system, but we're far too gone. And we've the owners and the money generated by the Premier League is such a big business now that it's a corporation in itself. I think that it's far too big, and we've gone far down this road for it to change and be given away to the fans, the casting control. Do you believe that's possible for the government to intervene and say, I'm sorry, but...
Yes. Do you believe?
Do I believe? No.
Yeah. No. Do you believe that government... There is a government commission already, fan-led review, and there must be some conclusions. I don't know which one, but the discussion is about to give supporters 50 plus one in voting rights on essential matters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it's possible?
No. I don't believe it's possible for them to win this mandate and to win this to win this regulation change. No, I think that this news and this story will slowly die down, and we will go back to how it's always been. Unfortunately, would I like something like this? Yeah,
yes.
It sounds quite interesting to me. I think that there are only positives. Well, I was going to say that there are only positives about the German league and the Bundesliga, but they also have their own problems. But in terms of the control of the club, I think that it's a good idea. Do I think it will happen? No. And do I think that these recent campaigns by supporters will change that? I don't think so. I think that the government will say what they think the people want to hear, like normal politicians do. And but eventually nothing will change.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, you have no hope that Kroenkes will sell Arsenal.
No, I don't have any hope. Although this recent Daniel Ek from Spotify, mm-hmm. this recent story was interesting, especially as he got support from ex-players like Bergkamp, Vieira, and Henry, coming to say positive things on behalf of Daniel Ek. That was nice to hear. But Kroenke, I think, is how do I say it? He's I guess an experienced businessman, and he's quite not defensive, but I think he protects himself well from criticism. I think that he can distance himself. If you look at his American portfolio teams, they can perform very badly. He can, as I understand it, he relocated one of his American football teams halfway across America. And the amount of fans for this team that criticized him and hate him for it is so strong, yet he just does it because it made business sense for him from his perspective. He still does it. So as long as he's earning a profit from Arsenal, I don't see any reason for that to change, unless maybe we as fans do something even stronger and are able to harm him financially.
Even stronger, what do you mean?
I think that the protests that they had recently and that they still have, I've seen a number of posts online about the marches before the game. I think mm-hmm. there was another one before the Brighton game outside the stadium. Those are good, but I think that those need to be intensified. I think that the Kroenke needs to be hit monetarily, financially, so people need to stop buying all of the millions of Adidas kits that have come out. That we need to speak up maybe more online against Kroenke to hurt his public image a little bit more. I think that this is just the start. And if you look at the way that some of the United fans are against the Glazers, I think that this is a general feeling in the country at the moment, especially in England. I can't speak for Russia, but for American owners and rich owners to get out, to either help the club and invest in the club and be a little bit more like the Leicester owner. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but he
doesn't matter.
When they won the Leicester, when they won the FA Cup. Yeah, from Thailand. And obviously the tragedy that surrounded Leicester after mm-hmm. the owner died in a helicopter accident. And seeing their current owner running on the pitch with the players, hugging them all, shaking their hands, like with tears in his eyes, picking up the FA Cup. If you asked me, do you ever think that Kroenke would do the same for Arsenal? Of course not. It would be nice to have a chairman like that. But that's a very rare situation. But I wish that we could.
Mm-hmm. So you don't believe Kroenke will sell to Daniel Ek?
No, I don't, but
because,
I don't know business
they
very
don't
well.
Sell. Because they don't sell.
Yeah, they don't sell. There's been no talk of it. As I understand it, Josh Kroenke, his son, has been groomed to take over the role in managing Arsenal. In the future, he will become more and more prevalent and prominent in stories. So I don't think he will, but who knows in business what happens behind the doors? Maybe there's some business negotiations happening right now and both sides are denying it. I'm not sure.
Yes, of course. Okay, let's go to football. So From where do I start? Are you satisfied with Arsenal performance? I'm sorry. Now.
No, I'm not.
So what is the problem in Arsenal Football Club right now?
I can't say. I think that it's hard to put it on one thing, because we have spent a bit of money I used to like saying, well, Arsenal never spent any money. We were doing well, like Arsene Wenger. He was very shrewd with his money. And okay, we're fourth. We were fourth in the league, but we spend no money. But now we do spend a little bit of money. We do have a wage salary. Our wage output is very high in the league. And yet we don't see any performances that match that. So we finish eighth in the league, and our salary is probably, I think it's like fourth in the league, if I remember rightly. But nevertheless, we're not performing well. I don't know exactly what that is. I think that maybe we should have put a more experienced or renowned coach or trainer in. Going from Emery to Arteta maybe was not the best decision. But right now, I can't say what is the best. There's just loads of individual things that I don't understand. Arteta makes some strange decisions sometimes, especially with substitutions transfers are a little bit strange. And then behind the scenes, we lost some of our management. Again, I forget the name of the director of football, I think we got rid of. And then Edu has had to step up a little bit more into his chair, into his position. So many things. I can't
you
say...
Mean, you mean Garlic? New one from EPL? Football
yes.
director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he just hired 1 month, so... He's not guilty for Arsenal performance anyway.
No, he's not. But I mean, generally, overall, behind the scenes, maybe before Arsene Wenger was, or for better or worse, Wenger was controlling almost every element of Arsenal on the pitch and off the pitch. But now, since Wenger, we've had to compartmentalize. Everything's in compartments now. So different specialists are in charge of different parts of the club. And that's going to be a very difficult period to navigate through. So maybe some of those elements are not working as they should, and but I can't say it's not an easy like it used to be. Arsenal's defense was part of the problem, but if we look at the season this year, we conceded I think the third least goals out of all clubs. I believe it's only Manchester City and Chelsea who conceded mm-hmm. less goals than Arsenal, yep. which is crazy because Arsenal have always conceded loads of goals normally, but. I guess in attack has been a bit of the our attacking creativity. If I was to say on the pitch, what is our biggest problem? I guess that maybe number 10 role, that Kevin De Bruyne role for City, or that Fernandez role for United. That position we are completely lacking, because we seem to have the strikers who have experience, and our defense is not conceding goals all the time. So it's that creativity, I think, that we're lacking.
Okay. Does manager Mikel Arteta deserve to be in charge of Arsenal next season?
Yes, I think he does. I think that he has a plan that I at least see. He likes us to play a certain way. And he likes us to play with a certain control over the game, whether or not it works or not, or has worked. I don't think it has worked all the time. It's clear because we finished eighth. But there were signs, especially early in the season, where I thought, okay, well, maybe we're turning into the old Arsenal, the 1-0 to the Arsenal, where we would just have a solid defense and we'd score a goal and we'd win the game. 3 points. Thank you. But then we started that didn't prove to be the case, but at least I saw a plan. When I was watching Emery, I didn't really understand what was happening. I didn't understand what we were doing. What was our style? Were we?
Can you explain me, please? What is Mikel Arteta's style? 1-0 to the Arsenal.
I didn't. I 1-0 to 1-0 to the Arsenal, 1-0 to any team can be different things. It can be, but generally it was a solid defensive game. where you try to control the game, but you don't make extreme risks in the final third, and don't turn the ball over. You don't make these mistakes which cost you goals. And at the beginning of the season, before our terrible run, which was around December time, maybe in the end of November, December, where we had a terrible run. But before then, we won the Community Shield. We were beating City, we beat Chelsea, United, and we were playing this very closed game where everyone was zonally aware of where they should be. And I could see that there was maybe an element of Pep's style in there. I don't know what, I'm not really an expert on Pep, but obviously...
What kind of Pep style? Tell me, please.
In terms of the...
Press and counter-attacks.
Pressing definitely improved. I would say that it improved under Arteta a lot. The pressing off the ball improved. I think that the wide play also improved a lot, which is a kind of a speciality of Guardiola. He liked to get Mendy and players like Zinchenko and those wide players in. And for us, the signing of Tierney was amazing. He's one of my favorite players to watch. And so Arteta was using those wide players a lot. Whether that was effective or not is debatable, because we had Aubameyang up front, and I don't think crossing the ball in 100 times to Aubameyang is the best use out of that striker. But I could see Arteta. He was solid. We play out from the back. It was a high-press game. It was zonally aware, so you don't have players who are going out of the position where they should be. It was very tactical, very precise. It was trying to operate, as usual, the triangle passing system. So something around that. But for whatever reason, we make lots of individual mistakes. Xhaka, for example, I get the most in the league. So it didn't help him.
Xhaka? Does he deserve to be in Arsenal next season?
Again, another hard decision to make. I think he wants to leave, but my opinion would be that we keep him. I really don't like Xhaka as a player, but towards the end of the season, I really felt that when he wasn't playing, we lost control in the middle of the pitch. And Xhaka with Partey and sometimes with Elneny, I felt like that really gave us more control over the game. It shouldn't do. I don't know why, because I think he's very slow. When he's pressured, when he has people pressing him, his turning speed is very slow for a Premier League player. He always makes mistakes. And this year it cost us many points because I think he passed the ball right to the strikers many times, which is
but
great.
You still want to keep him?
I just keep him just because I don't know, like the usual situation is I don't know who would get as better, and I like his passion, and like maybe this is a bit of a like romantic opinion, but he went through such a bad point with the club that I kind of want him to do well for Arsenal. Like, all of the fans hated him. And then he was making bad signs when he was substituted, and mm-hmm. he didn't play for a long time, and they took mm-hmm. his captaincy away from him, and it was like, it was sure that he would leave the club. But he didn't. He stuck around, and he still plays, and he still shouts at everyone. And I like that. I like that as somebody on the pitch. He makes crazy mistakes, just like David Luiz does, but sometimes those players are important.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter that he told you to fuck off. No?
It matters. But I think like if you look at the time and the place where he said that, he wasn't relaxing on a Sunday afternoon drinking a cup of tea and then said fuck off.
Yeah, okay,
he said it in the heat of the moment when he obviously was having a rough time in his game. As Arsenal, we were losing. And everyone likes to online, and I think the media abuse and Twitter abuse that we give some of these players on Instagram, for example, is just stupid. I don't understand people who have to go online and still
it's,
play.
Of course, yes. I don't understand.
Like, should Xhaka react that way as a captain of Arsenal? Of course he shouldn't.
But it's a child's, I think. I believe.
Yeah.
I believe.
It is childish. Yeah, I agree.
How do you feel about Arsenal missing out on qualification for Europa Conference League?
Specifically about the Conference League, I don't really care, but in general, missing out on Europe, like full stop, yeah, that's disappointing. The last game of the season, I wish that Leicester had beat Tottenham and that we'd been able to finish above Tottenham and celebrated
Saint
Tottenham's
Tottenham's
Day.
Day.
Yeah, that would have been a nice end to the season with how bad it's been. Yet we still might have beaten Tottenham. Nevertheless, missing out on Europe is bad. Everyone likes to say, well, don't worry, you have a season to focus on the Premier League, and maybe that's true, but for me personally, this Europa League and Conference League, I'm just not interested personally. It's nice when we get to the semi-final and we should have played better and got to the final, and I really really liked watching those final games of the competition, the Europa League. But really, it's the Champions League for me. I don't really care too much. I'm not really very interested in the Europa League or the Conference League.
Should Arsenal buy Martin Odegaard permanently from Real Madrid?
If the price is right, yes, I think that we should. I think that he showed some talent, and I like his attitude. He just focuses on the game, gets on with it, and when he found his tempo, he showed some talent, really good talent that I don't think that he has or had an opportunity to show at Real Madrid.
What should happen to William Saliba next season?
Saliba, we should take back, and now that Luiz is gone, I think that we should try to give Saliba more time, because his results in the French league again this season, before we got him, they were amazing, and again during this loan period they've been amazing. We need to make him comfortable playing in England, living in England. We need to give him the opportunity to play. I think that's the only thing that we can do. Willian?
William Saliba. His name William. William
right,
is
William
is the next question.
Well, okay. Well, about Saliba, yeah.
So
I think
Saliba, we should do him part of Arsenal squad. Yes.
Yes, I like him.
Not to loan out.
No, not again. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. On William.
And about William. I didn't like this transfer when I heard it. I didn't like that we were getting these old players from Chelsea. I'd hoped that. And the length of contract, as I remember, haven't we given him a did we give him 3 year contract?
3 years, yes.
Yeah, it just seemed like for his age and for a winger, wingers need to be quite young and athletic and tricky. And I felt like 2 years would have been a better choice. I don't know why we needed to offer him to attract him so readily with 3 years. I didn't like him. I still didn't like him, especially after seeing him play. I think that he also ruined the progress of Pepe this season. And at the end of the season, we finally saw Pepe stand up and perform. And I wish that we hadn't wasted this time giving Willian this opportunity at the start. I wish that we just... Pepe plays, Willian stays on the bench. If Pepe does bad, okay, but he needs to play. Pepe is obviously a confidence player. He's obviously a player who needs to feel like he's doing good, and he's like quite a... I would say off the pitch, he's quite a funny person. If you look at his Instagram history and social media stuff, then he's a guy who's quite young, maybe a little bit immature still, but he needs to feel at home. And I think Pepe should have been given more of a chance, for better or worse. I think that he should have been played in the position that we gave to Willian, stupidly.
Mm-hmm. What about Joe Willock, who was loaned out to Newcastle and he has a good spell?
Yeah, I like him. I like Joe Willock, but Joe Willock's preferred, and maybe you can correct me here, but his preferred position is in a kind of attacking midfield, right through the middle.
I don't know.
See, I assume when he played for Arsenal, he was kind of like filling the holes in different positions. We did that to quite a few players. Like Maitland-Niles played in different positions, and then he didn't work, so we got rid of him, and then. We had the same for Willock, who's done amazingly at Newcastle, because I think he's being played in his preferred position, which is that maybe not number 10, but like a kind of like a Ramsey position for Arsenal, where you can, you're an attacking midfielder and you can get to the box late, like a kind of a Lampard used to be at a Chelsea. And for that, in that position, he was getting the goals and he was doing well. If could he do that at Arsenal? Maybe. I don't know if it works with our system, and I quite like the progression.
What would you do with him? To sell or to make him a part of Arsenal squad?
I think I would sell him. I think I would sell him. I think that his form at Newcastle was absolutely incredible, and that surely has raised his price. And I don't think I saw any glimpses of him do. There were a few glimpses of some good things when he was at Arsenal, but in general, I think that we can aim better. I think that he's good. He could come back to Arsenal. He could be in the squad. He could sit on the bench. He could come on to games and get 15 minutes, but like, eh. Like, where if we can get, like, I don't know, could we get 20, 25? I've heard rumors of 20 million for Willock.
Yeah, they say even 30.
Well, 30, that's no question for me.
30 sell, immediately but, sell, yes?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Arteta deserved to be in charge next season. Okay. Mm. Arteta is working. 18 months already. He took the team at 8th place, and now the team is also at 8th place. So, as far as I understand, you expect Arsenal to be in Champions League, yes?
Yes.
So, how many years you can give Arteta to bring Arsenal to Champions League?
That's difficult to say, because when you have extreme seasons like this season, and it could have been worse, and we could be finishing, we could be talking about like 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, we could be talking lower. And if you have those really, really bad years, then it really puts more pressure on. But if Arteta, if we hope, as all Arsenal fans hope, that we don't get any lower than this, but if we hope that the 8th is the floor, and that we can only build from that, that if I start to see next year that we come 7th, for example, or 6th, but I see a marked improvement. I see that, like, we've failed. We did well defensively a little bit, but maybe we failed attackingly. And if I see next year...
James, how many years you will give to Arteta to bring us to top four?
Well...
How many more years...
I'm quite a patient guy. It's a simple question.
So how many years?
I don't know, 4 years?
4 years.
We're eighth at the moment. You need fourth to finish Champions League.
And you are ready to suffer 4 years more.
Well, it's not suffering when I see progress. It's the same for any team. Like, eighth is really, really bad, but like, going from where we were, which was Champions of England, down to 8th, that is suffering. If we're going from 8th up to 7th, 7th up to 6th, that's not suffering. That's improvement. It's slow, but it is improvement.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the London team, Chelsea?
Yes.
Yes. You know that 26th of December, Arsenal beat Chelsea 3-0, and Chelsea was at 6th, 7th place. And the coach, which is true Chelsea legend, Frank Lampard, true Chelsea legend, not like Arteta in Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
He was sacked. And now Chelsea hired a manager who brought them to Champions League final and to top four.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to wait for years for this.
Well, those are different contexts. There's different teams and different... Because Chelsea, how much did they spend last season? 250 million?
So what? For Havertz and Werner makes the difference for Chelsea?
They also bought Ziyech as well, I remember, right? And they also invested in Thiago, who also came.
And I guess at the Inter salary. Okay.
And Mendy as well. Surely the goalkeeper came in to solve their goalkeeping problems. But nevertheless, my point is that those are different teams, and those are Arsenal are not a. We have to admit that Arsenal are not what we used to be. If you are Tuchel or Tuchel, however it's pronounced, and you're the manager of PSG, of course you would find the development and the advantages of being a manager of Chelsea and working with Abramovich's money a lot more interesting and the team, the solid team that Chelsea had. Chelsea finished in top four the summer before, right? Arsenal didn't. So you look at the Chelsea solid team they already had. They then invested 250 million more into the team that was already top four. And then you look at an owner who's willing to open his checkbook and sign who you want. Of course, that's more attractive for him. It's not a case of, well, okay, James, would you have preferred Tuchel or Arteta? Of course, Tuchel. Would he have come to Arsenal or Chelsea? No, of course he's going to choose Chelsea. It's not an easy decision like that.
There is Antonio Conte who is available now. What would you say? Do you want him at Arsenal? Instead of Arteta, of course.
I don't know about Conte. I think that he did well in his season at Chelsea, but he's a very emotional man and manager. He doesn't get on with... He causes a lot of friction behind the scenes. He did incredibly...
You need a good guy, or you need first place in championship? I mean, in Premier League.
Well, what I want is to not join the manager carousel or the manager merry-go-round that lots of teams do when they lose a big man like Sir Alex Ferguson or a big manager. They then jump on this business model of, right, every year or every 2 years we change the manager. And for Chelsea, that works okay because they have the money to support that. But Arsenal don't have that. Maybe I'm being too idealistic. Maybe it's wrong, but I don't want Arsenal to be a team like that. I want Arsenal to be a team who gives people chances, and I want Arsenal fans to be fans who are patient. And I hope that works in the long term. I don't want us to be short term fans and people who just shout and cry when something goes wrong.
Okay. Kroenke gave Arteta money for Thomas Partey, for Gabriel. Okay, Kroenke is not Abramovich, but you cannot say that Kroenke is not financially supporting Arteta. He is supporting him very good. But the result is zero. Zero result. Zero. Eighth place to eighth place. And I don't see anything from what you told me, that Arteta is a coach. In my view, Arteta is not a manager. He maybe he is a second coach. Maybe I'm not sure that he is able to work with any coach, but he definitely cannot work as a manager. So as a head coach, he cannot work. He don't know how to work and how to prepare the team. Have a look at Tuchel. And you will see after two games, he changed everything from Lampard. Arteta changed nothing and showed nothing. The only system Arteta showed us is play like 1-0 to the Arsenal. And it's impossible for him to play in this system because he cannot organize basics. No. It's impossible. He don't know how to do it. This is the problem, that he doesn't have qualification to work. And the story with Arteta, I understand that it will continue, but I hope that by Christmas there will be different men in the dugout. There is no even small chance of progress for Arsenal with this guy, because he is incompetent in all spheres of football.
All right, I can see your perspective on this and your opinion, and I agree. And I and if I But the thing is, if I agree with you and say he's terrible, like, I mean,
No, you don't need to agree. I just need to say that I disagree.
No, that's fine.
With the estimation. And it's so, okay, yes.
So let me offer a little bit of positivity. Like, I mean, at the Arsenal are in a depressing period at the moment. But some positivity is what? Like, we look at the end season, the end results, we're 6 points off fourth place. So we're 6 points off Champions League. We're 8 points off third place Liverpool, who won the league last season with 100 points. So we finished higher than Ancelotti. Jose Mourinho got sacked and in the second half of the season, I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but I think the second half of our season, we had an incredible win streak and great defense. We scored the second most points, second best defensive record, third most goals at the second half of the season. So, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, that last run of five wins in a row, I think it was really good and has helped to pull us up. So,
you believe in the future?
No, yes, I want to, and I want to give Arteta another season. Firing him for, I think you mentioned December, but sacking a manager in December for me always seems stupid, especially if you give him a big transfer. Kitty or a big transfer amount in the summer. Then what's the? It's a mistake. It's a managerial mistake if you think that you will sack him in December. If you then give him like 200 million this summer or 100 million, whatever.
No, I would sack him in March 2020.
You would sack him right now.
March 2020.
2020.
More than a year ago. Yes, okay. First time I wrote Arteta out was February 2020. Because it's clear he is not a coach. He is not a proper coach. He is just a person who played football. And that's it.
Well, so, I mean, if we look at him to Emery, I prefer Arteta to Emery.
Why? Emery is a coach. He is not a good coach, okay, for England. But he is a coach. He knows basics.
Like you just said, he is a coach. He's not a good coach.
Not a good coach, of course.
That's the thing. He wasn't a good coach, and that is the reason. I believe that there's more. I've seen more of an understanding in the way Arteta plays, and I feel more confident. Like watching us play against some of the top six teams when we had Arteta, we were a lot more comfortable. I used to hide behind the sofa when we played against Chelsea or United, but this season I think we beat them both home and away. Mm-hmm. As I understand, Those losses against the weak teams, yeah, those are disappointing, and those are things that we can fix. But I never liked Emery. I didn't really understand him.
I agree with you. But if you ask me, if you are going to change Emery for Arteta, is a wrong move. Wrong move. Mm. So you must change Emery for Conte, for Tuchel. Okay, but for Arteta, I'm sorry. Do you remember Europa League semifinals? What did Arteta show? What kind of skills he show? Emery showed some skills. What Arteta did show? A catastrophic first leg.
I don't know about the skills that Emery showed in the final of the Europa League, but
But he went through Arteta easily. That's the answer. I'm sure that our players, if you compare player to player, our squad is better than Villarreal's squad.
Yeah, so we should have won. There's no excuses. We should have won. And maybe there were some things you could say about Aubameyang. He couldn't play in the first game because of recovering from malaria, as I understand it.
So what? So why didn't you play Martinelli all this season?
Well, Martinelli, that's another thing that I wish he did. Arteta's answer was protecting him from giving him too many games.
Both know that is bullshit.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more.
We both know it. Mm-hmm. That Arteta is a guy who cannot work with sophisticated people like Guendouzi, for example. And you must agree with Arteta in order to play. If you disagree in some aspect, you will never play.
True, but I mean, if you what you've just said there is that if you don't listen and then do what the manager says, you don't play. And that trait or that characteristic in a manager is something that we laud, that we say is amazing for managers like Alex Ferguson. If you annoyed Alex Ferguson, you never played for the rest of your United career. And okay. So Guendouzi was sophisticated, not in the sense that he was technically sophisticated. He was just a child, and he was difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in that regard, yes, he couldn't work. And for Arteta to push Guendouzi out of the team was absolutely the right decision, because he needed to show that he's the boss, and he did. And Guendouzi was a child. He still is, and you can see his performance in Germany with Hertha Berlin. Is it?
So what? What's the problem? Guendouzi is a gifted player. He is not a nice guy, of course. You have to work with him. Listen, Tuchel have to work with Werner. Werner is an awful, absolute in England. Okay, in Germany he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But in England he is absolutely awful. But manager has to work with him. He has no choice.
Yeah, but it's not about talent. I'm not talking about performance and footballing ability. Because Werner is established. Okay, he's not an old guy, but Werner is a guy who works hard for the team. He listens to the manager. He listened to Lampard. He listened to Tuchel. Guendouzi was a young kid, a teenager, who has raw talent. And yes, you're right. You need an experienced manager to get the best out of those players.
Absolutely.
But that it's still not a guarantee. You can't say that just because he has raw talent, that will mean that he will become Pogba in five years' time. It just means that he's raw. And it was his off-the-pitch attitude. It was the fact that he acted like a kid off the pitch. He was joking around, messing around. When we would lose, he would laugh on the training pitch. There were also many incidents. He was not disciplined. Werner isn't like that. Werner was terrible on the pitch, sure. But off the pitch, Werner was a professional. Guendouzi wasn't. And Guendouzi left Arsenal because he wasn't professional, not because he wasn't talented. We all know he is.
Okay. James. Thank you very much for joining us for today. It's a very interesting opinion. It's a different one, of course, from mine, but it's okay. I appreciate it. Different people, different opinions.
Yes.
I hope you come to us end of next season. And,
definitely.
And we will discuss with you Arsenal at the end of next season, okay?
Yes, and one final question. Are you optimistic about the summer transfer window, or are you pessimistic about it?
With Arteta in the charge, absolutely doesn't matter which kind of transfer window you have.
Okay.
Because the result will be the same.
Okay.
Have a look at Thomas Partey.
Mm-hmm.
This is the answer. So if you have no coach, you have no result. Doesn't matter who you buy.
Okay.
James, nice to meet you once again.
Ivan, nice to speak with you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Друзья мои, на этом подкаст мы заканчиваем. С Джеймсом услышимся в следующем году. На сегодня у нас все. С вами был Иван Меркурьев. И как быть непобедимыми, знаем только мы.